On this Saturday, September 19th, 2015, session of the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission. We will start off with the open public input. Excuse me, we have one.
We'll have two,
but we have one right now, and the main one, the good one, the nice one. So, Bobby, it's up to you.
The elder.
Yes, you know the rules.
Good morning, and I'm Bobby Thornley, of course. I'm representing myself this morning, and I'm going to talk to you about Ferry County and our doe population. And I brought this up when we were considering the three-year package. And our doe population in Whitetail is way down. And this year, we've been concerned because we haven't been seeing fawns even. And now with a good part of Ferry County burned, it's going to be even worse. There won't be the habitat and so forth. And my concern is the expansion of any deer whitetail to the entire modern firearms season. Up until now, for the last few years, it's been, I believe, the 4 days towards the end of the season, and that's adequate. That's plenty. And I'm one, of course, who falls in that category. But I think the important thing is our resource. And it's going down. And I'm asking that you consider an emergency regulation. You do it on fish all the time. Some kind of an emergency regulation that would bring that special season back to where it has been in the last few years, so we can at least have a chance of getting our whitetail season back, our whitetail population back. One of the things that we have to consider is that it's not just hunters, modern firearm hunters. We're north half. And, of course, the tribal hunting takes place up there. And with North Star burning most a good part of the reservation, we're going to have them up there. And with Okanagan being pretty well burned up, people are going to be directed to Ferry County. And I just dread the results that we're going to have if that special season remains for the entire year, our entire modern firearm season. So I do ask you to consider that. I think it's extremely important, and that's my concern, is the resource. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. And I'm sure that, oh, yes.
And I know this is anecdotal, and I am at the other corner of the state from you, but we had some fantastic bird hatches this year, but we also have a poor fawn crop this year.
It's amazing. I think we've had one or two healthy fawns, and one we saw the other day that was so small he wasn't even the size of a medium Great Dane. It's really bad. And I understand, I was told yesterday that the stats show that 91% of the doe kill over there came from Ferry County last year.
Yeah, but I just wanted to echo her sentiments on.
I'm worried.
I don't know. It's odd because you would have thought it would have been a good fawn crop, but it
should
just
have
wasn't.
Been. And as you say, the bird crop, we've got quail started over there again, and we're really thrilled, and they're doing very, very well. Thank you. Yep. Oh.
Supportive of your concern, too, and I think perhaps we can ask the director to look into that.
I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
Okay. I'll have to just get out of the chair.
And call up Gary.
Shala.
And the rules here are 3 minutes, you'll hear a beeper go off. Wind up your conversation.
I think I can keep it under that.
Yeah. Thank you.
I gave you a couple extra copies, so you'll have this for the records moving forward, but I'm going to just read you this letter, and you'll have it in your possession as well. First of all, thank you for this opportunity. I speak before today Gary Shalla as the Executive Director of the Inland Northwest Land Conservancy. I'm not an individual, I'm actually representing that organization. And for the past 5 years, I've worked in both Regions 1 and Regions 2, so I come from that kind of experience. Our role as a conservancy is working with individual landowners who wish to see their land, the land they love and respect, conserved from large-scale development into the future. In addition to conservation easements, the conservancy also assists individual landowners who wish to sell their land or donate their land to the city, the county, or state agencies, ultimately providing public benefit. As that local, on-the-ground, non-governmental agency, the conservancy is very nimble. We bring a different lens, and we facilitate relationships that help to dispel many of the myths that swirl around the work we both do. At the same time, we are advocates for wildlife habitat across many landscapes. Our collaborative partnerships include the Mule Deer Foundation, Ducks Unlimited, Trout Unlimited, Pheasants Unlimited, Fly Fishing Clubs, Audubon Spokane, and the Intermountain Joint Venture, just to name a few. And we're proud to say this year we were the recipients of a duck stamp grant, so we are actively engaged in those types of venues. Our relationship with WDFW has been a really positive one. I've worked with outstanding individuals in both regions, which flows down from excellent leaders in Steve and Jim. I'd also like to say that I and we in the land trust world have seen a really positive major shift in the past couple of years to inclusion, transparency, and conversation, a closer working relationship which has very much appreciated. And we appreciate past Director Anderson's stance in not backing down from those who would work to villainize the work that we both do, individually or as a partnership. And we'd hope that Director Unsworth would take a similar stance. And welcome. I would ask you as commissioners to relay and advocate for the continuation of collaboration and inclusion. With budgets constantly under attack, organizations like the Inland Northwest Land Conservancy can bring additional resources to the table when needed to support movement of opportunities between funding cycles, as we've done in the past. We can be a conduit for WDFWs to volunteers and coalitions to enhance public land maintenance where it's feasible to us to do that. We can organize citizen science initiatives for WDFW to help validate numbers, species, or levels. And finally, we can be huge advocates for WDFW within the community. We appreciate the work that the department does. I thank you for your time and really wish Director Unsworth a very warm welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. I just had the pleasure of working with Gary for many years when he was with the Okanagan Land Trust in Tenasket, and he was an outstanding voice for conservation, for easements, for acquisitions, and put up a very good fight in terms of getting out the good information, the truth, and combating some of the misinformation that flies around in our part of the world anyway about easements and whatnot. So, and then we lost him to come over to Spokane, but he's doing great work here too. And just want to say thank you, Gary, for all you did and are still doing. And it's been a pleasure working with you all these years.
Thank you very much.
So we're really lucky to have Gary as our fairly new executive director of the Inland Northwest Land Conservancy. It's a fairly young conservancy, and it's done really great things, including something that's very near and dear to my heart. It was a collaborative effort with the department, Spokane Audubon. And actually, it's kind of ongoing, but the Land Conservancy at the time, Land Trust was the name, helped with the purchase of Reardon Audubon Pond, which is part of the Swanson Lakes Wildlife Area. And it's actually being expanded with the work of the Land Conservancy now. They're assisting with an additional purchase. And this is really a treasure and very important to wildlife conservation. It's one of the most important ponds for waterfowl and shorebird migration in all of eastern Washington, and it's now in the hands of the Wildlife Department. So we appreciate the work that you do.
We've just completed and we'll have a grand opening, a dedication, if you'd like to come. We'd love to have you on October 10th. We were instrumental over a 10-year period of building relationship with the Troutman family, and have now we will dedicate the Troutman Ranch, 280 acres, which was the missing link in the Riverside State Park system, and we'll do that in October. And again, that was a collaborative effort with many partners, including the department. So we continue to do that kind of work.
Thank you for your good work.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to partnering with you.
Very good. Thank you again.
That brings to a close the open public input. You have 3 minutes, and then you'll hear a beeper go off. That means you can finish your thing, whatever you're saying.
But all right.
Then the seat bounces, and you fly out the door.
Like Inspector Gadget.
Yes.
All right,
so
okay.
Shirley?
Yes, sir.
Shirley, it's up to you.
Okay. So recently, Paul Crutzen, he wrote this book called The Anthropocene, and The Anthropocene diagnoses the current ecological, biological, and geological era that we're living in versus what the stratigraphers refer to as the Holocene, because it does not take into manufacturing and ecological and biochemical warfare and everything like that. And Paul Crutzen is a friend with, actually, Paul Crutzen was a 1995 Nobel Peace Prize winner for chemistry, and he's friends with Christian Schregler, who wrote the book The Anthropocene. And there are so many things in the knowledge of the Anthropocene and so many things that are going on with our environment as we exist today that changes that we really need to make in order to make sure that future generations down the line, and you look at how everything is impacting us, the fires and like, that was crazy, an entire month and a half of, like, smoke in our air and the clear-cutting of a national forest and everything like that. And so basically put, I don't know anything. I just thought this morning, I was, like, so excited, Fish and Wildlife Commission, yay! Right? It's okay. And so I was, like, I have an opportunity to find out, you know, what the position is right now. And I'm nobody. I don't know anything about anything. I just picked up this book because I followed Christian Schregler for many years on Facebook, Living in the Anthropocene, and the ideas that come across in that and everything. But, like, it's always interesting me. I grew up in Columbia Falls, Montana, 17 miles away from Glacier National Park, and it's in my core and in my being, and it's a part of me. And so I just stopped by this morning with, like, just this idea and wondering, you know, do you guys take that into account too? Like, when you guys are making the, you know, executive decisions and the statutes and everything like that, do you guys take, you know, the future and what it is and the impacts that the decisions today are making upon future, you know, generations and such? That's just basically my question to find out this morning is, like, these things and these initiatives that we're making today, are we taking into account tomorrow as well? So that's what.
Let me just correct one thing. You are somebody. Don't say your
name. Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you, sir. So, thank you. Thank you.
You're very well-spoken, young lady.
Do you want to try to answer?
I'll give it just a shot on that. But I think that all of us are deeply concerned by, we're volunteers.
Yes.
And so we're here because of a passion. And that passion isn't just for today. Every decision we make does reflect the future. And I think if you would cut any of us, you would see that passion bleed out in many different ways. That we share multiple concerns about the future, both in the macro and the micro scale, but we're concerned about the youth as well.
Yeah.
The fact that they spend 11 hours a day sitting down there like that, that they don't know how to smell nature, breathe nature, hear nature. We're concerned about every species out there. Yesterday, our conversations went from bees as pollinators to megafauna of wolves and grizzly bears. So that's in one morning's discussion. We interact with as much of the public as we can in any given issue. I'm very pleased to see you here, because one sector of the public that we do not interact with that much are people of color.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we need help in how to do that. But the demographics are changing. Kids today, half of them don't have, you know, parent set that most of us were taught by one of our parents, appreciation of nature. Today, the demographics, they're urban. They don't know where their food comes from. So your concerns are our concerns from the heart. And I think you are an extremely good breath of fresh air to bring us back to that touchstone. Because a lot of what we deal with are competing energies. We will hear a lot of yays and nays and a lot of pointing of fingers. But that commonality of what you said is what brings us together. That's the common denominator. So, well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shirley. From that end of the table to here are the commissioners. This is our director and deputy director, and our director is fairly new, and he has an initiative going that's called Wild Future, Wild Futures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we're trying to hear from as many people as we can on September 30th out at Discovery Center in the Valley. The Spokane meeting is going to take place from 6 to 8 o'clock, and we would really be very happy to see you there and hear these ideas, because that's just an important piece of what's going on.
So September 30th at 6 p.m. at Discovery Place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The danger of sitting where you're doing and opening yourself up means you could be tapped. So, you know, you get on the radar, be careful.
Right.
There is a complete schedule. The director has scheduled several meetings across the state. And they'll take place in different areas if members of your group want to attend those. The schedule is on the website,
okay. The
WDFW website. Right on the front page, you can, from the director's desk, click on that and you can get the schedule.
Okay. I have several friends.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your time.
We appreciate your attendance. And we look forward to seeing you again.
Okay.